My name is Casey Ballmer, and I'm here with Georgette Smith. And today we're conducting an oral history interview on Carlos Molina.
And it was something always in the back of my mind, and I guess that was a sophomore. And I took a speech class, actually, and it was with the drama teacher. And so I auditioned for one of the plays, and first time I was in a play, and it was wonderful. I mean, the experience developing character, working with other actors, and it was an experience that was extraordinarily pleasurable. And then I did one other show in college, and that was it. You know, it never did anything else, but it sort of lingered in the back of my mind and obviously wasn't even a thought to pursue, because I know how tough it is to be in the performing arts. So I just took the path of an academic career, and then much later in life, maybe about 20, 25 years later, after I have a full blown, I was a professor at York College, and I just started to. But actually, my wife said to me that I had become a very boring person. It was just nose to the grind, and so this passion never really left me, or this inclination. So I went to our drama department and said, "Hey, I want to take some acting classes. Where do I go?" So I went. They directed me to HB Studios down in the village, and I studied a couple of semesters there. And it was just, again, it just rekindled the pleasure. Doing scene class was terrific. Then I stumbled by chance with this acting teacher. Her name was Diane Ainsley. She's an old-time Broadway performer, and now was just teaching. And she was fabulous in the sense that her technique and way of conveying the craft of acting was very unique. What I mean by that, acting, as you know, is in a way it's make-believe, but in a way it's not. It's make-believe, but you're creating the actor, but it's not, because you really have to transform yourself, not just physically, and the makeup and stuff, that's easy, but physically, and how will this person walk? And it's not that you can't, you can't imagine it, it has to come from within. If you're this character, if you really become his soul and his emotion, the walk comes, the movement comes, because, and then the term that we use in the field, it's got to be organic. It's got to come from inside. And then when you're doing scenes or in theater, when you're in with the character and you are responding with your fellow actor or actress, whatever it calls for, if it's sadness, you have to become sad. I mean, really become sad. You can't act sad. And when you see, actors, they're sad. At that moment, the camera's on. They are sad, they are suffering, they are feeling, they're tormented, whatever it is actually happening. So can you imagine, how do you teach this? So she was spectacular. She really developed techniques and tools that we were able to practice and be able to do it. And she was uncanny in the sense that an eye, you can never fake it. With her. But the thing is, what was great about it is that you were you were able to work at it. It's like, you know, picking up an instrument and going through the scales, and you do it more and more and you get better and better. So the same thing with the craft of acting. So anyway, so I took class with Diane Ainsley, and then I started to audition, and I'd get a part here, and I just absolutely loved it. Then I just sort of gave into it and was auditioning all the time. And when I got chosen, I was lucky because I was, like I said, I was at York College. I'd be able to, you know, it was a great schedule. So when one of the advice that I would give any aspiring actor, get a career that allows you time, you know, especially during the day, to get out there and audition, which is really critical. And then if you have to go out, you know, if I were lucky that I'd have to be on a shoot for like 6 months, which never happened, I'd have to quit my profession, which would have been fine. But that opportunity never arose. So it was, I used to say that I'm an actor moonlighting as a college professor. So that's how I got into the business. When I was in college, and I think, yeah, the show was Epops, King of the Birds. It was a comedy, a Greek comedy. And I don't know how do you describe it? I guess part of the pleasure, even from that moment, is to become that character and to know that you have actually have accomplished it. Rehearsal process is always been pleasurable, and as I did more of it, as I matured into the craft, it just became more and more pleasurable. And I don't know, it's like anything that you do, whether it's acting, getting an A on the paper, there's a rush, there's a happiness that you get, you know, and it's an emotional rush, you know, that you get, whether it's acting or, you know, and I think all human beings need that. And it's when you don't have an opportunity in your life to be able to get that emotional rush that, you know, becomes very depressing. I wouldn't have even considered myself an actor in college. I think it was when I came back and I really began to dig into what acting really meant and what it was, that I think that I developed it. Anyone can be an actor. I mean, we all have it in us. The skill is being able to shed all your defenses, which is, I guess, easier said than done. That actors have to be very brave because you have to expose yourself. But it's not bravery. It's when, as an actor, the pleasure that I get is the moments that I have been really able to, you know, expose myself completely in the character and really feel what that character, no matter how much it hurt. And the fact that, which is a strange contradiction. So if it's to feel sadness or hurt or whatever it is, most people don't want to be sad, but to be able to be sad on stage is a pleasure. I don't like being sad anywhere else. Which it's like a contradiction, but it's a reality. Well, the first one that I was able to join was SAG, Screen Actors Guild. And with the Screen Actors Guild, there's a process. You can't just sign up, you know, and get your card. You have to have so many featured roles, which are hard to get. It's a very difficult, strange industry, because there are some parts that you can't get unless you're a SAG member. And then if you're not a SAG member, how do you get it? But there are parts that I did some extra work, and the thing that finally was able to get it in one of the Telemundo shows that I did, I was a featured, I had a featured character. So then I was able, they allowed me, and so I was then able to get my SAG card. And the same thing with equity. It's almost, you gotta luck into it. I did a show, and which one it was, I don't recall, it was at the Urban Stages. Anyway, that one had an interesting process. The agreement was, and somehow the director was able to get it. And all this part is also because of finances. So you have to pay a union actor higher than a non-union actor. But the way this was arranged was that the first 2 weeks of performances, and I don't even remember, I don't remember how he was able to do this. We worked as non-equity actors. Then we had to, if you weren't an equity actor, you had to become one. And then because you were in this arrangement, then equity allowed me in. So the only organization at the time that all you need to do was walk in, pay your dues, sign up, was AFTRA. And that was TV and radio union. But then years later, and that was a whole struggle, is that SAG and AFTRA, there was a lot of struggle, you know, that wanted to join and become one union, which eventually they did. So SAG and AFTRA became one union. So if you see, you'll see on the, well, you'll see that no one refers to themselves and act as a SAG member or an AFTRA member. You're a SAG / AFTRA member. And then the only other union is the equity, Actors Equity Association. You know, I'm an unfinished product, unfinished painting. So the artist can't put his her signature on it. And actually that's one of the things that I wanted to do now that I've retired from academia, is to try to, you know, get back into the business and see what's available. And that's one thing with actors. Well, one of the important things of acting, unless you're, you know, an extraordinarily famous actor, and if you don't look the part, they'll make sure that you look the part in terms of the physicality. But that's very important. So I don't look the same as I did 25 years ago. So roles that I might be available for me now were not available for me, you know, 25 years ago. So it's a whole new exploration. So I'm waiting for this whole issue of staying at home to be able to get out and audition and see what's out there. And as you know, I've relocated to Florida, and Miami has a pretty robust Spanish language telenovela industry. So I think there'll be opportunities for me there, but haven't even started to scratch that surface. We have no control over Rocker unless, you know, you're a Robert De Niro and Al Pacino. And that's true of all, you know, all actors, you know, even, I think I shared this with you when I did the Law and Order thing, the main character who has a very robust acting career. And I remember being on the set with him, and he's getting calls from his agents trying to figure out, you know, what his next audition was going to be. And he was in Law and Order for, I don't know how many years, 5 years. And with Yeah, so every actor, it's when you finish a gig, it's what will your next gig be? They don't know. They don't know unless you reach a level that they, you know, they have their production company and that's it. But I'm talking about actors that are making a living. I'm not super, you know, the 1% that's super wealthy. They, you know, actors that you'll recognize on television that have had series, and even while they're doing it, they have to be thinking about what's their next gig, where, you know, and they have to audition. So you don't know, you don't have any control whatsoever. It's a very crazy business, you know. Even when going to auditions, you know, when you have what's called a breakdown, they have sort of the physical type. You can't get by that. You know, they'll tell you, you know, they want this age group, they want this look, they want the Latino, they want a black, they want an Asian, they want, you know. So that's a start. It sometimes you'll go to places, you know, they'll say they want someone that has tattoos on their left arm. You know, but what's funny, as an actor, when you walk into these casting situations, everyone more or less looks like you. So it's like looking. So it's a funny situation. Very important artistic person in my life is Professor Morales. I've done maybe 3 or 4 shows. I think he's one of the most talented directors that I've ever worked with. He really has an incredible eye in terms of working with you. And one of the things that's, you know, because he, at part of his process, he has, you know, professional actors that work with students. Mm-hmm. And to be able to make that blend is, you know, very special. And he also has a temperament as a director that I admire. There's been some things that you say, oh my God, are we going to get this show up? Which is, you know, natural. I've had directors that if that's the case, they go crazy, you know? And he always has that smile on his face, keeps everybody calm, and then one next step, next step. But he's as a director, he's probably the best director I've ever worked with in terms of, just putting a show together and his eye and his feedback is extraordinary. And wonderful journey, you know, to sort of, and I think, I thank you because this is a great way for me to get me going. And, you know, it's been a transition, although I'm transitioning, but I'm still on hold, you know, to get into the next phase of my acting career, which is getting out and auditioning, because I hadn't done that in a while. And so getting me to actually you've helped me put my resume together again. I had to do it in order. Yeah, I had to take pieces in here. It was all over the place and putting it together, which is going to be important. Even writing the bio is also going to be good. I've been very fortunate. One of the things that I've been able, as I said, kidding, you know, jokingly, that I'm an actor. That moonlights as a professor, so that I've had that opportunity. And that's a very important part of an actor, and it breaks my heart. There are so many talented actors and actresses that are on the brink of poverty. And actually right now, I don't know how they are surviving. I mean, just think of it. I just said that acting is always working towards your next gig. You get some, you know, unless you're lucky, you get a series, you get, you know, the income keeps coming in. But it's a very, very difficult professions to be in. Well, and it's not just actors, painters, musicians. It's the art world. We're in a country that doesn't support that. That shouldn't be. You go to other industrialized nations, and they support and subsidize their talent and their artists. So in that regard, I feel, you know, very blessed, you know, to have had that opportunity and that security. If acting was all that I would do, I would have been happy. I'm not sure if I would have been happier, but I would have been pretty tough. I probably would have been on public assistance when you think of it, you know. So it's a difficult thing, but it's a journey, and if it clicks with you, you'll know the enjoyment and the pleasure that it can bring your life.
So one of the keys that I learned early on is to listen to the other actor in their role when they're speaking to you in their characters. And I have always found, and I learned this from Diane, that listening to your fellow actor will just create the emotion that's required if you allow it. That's the key. And I think even acting, the word is a misnomer for what actors actually do. Because you listen, you react, you're in the moment, and whatever that triggers, then that will just tell me what the response is. And it's a response that comes out as a result of our interaction. That actors understand only part of the term show business, which is the show, but they forget about the business. So it's a part of acting that I think people forget, which is the in-betweens. You know, our glory and the happiest times is when we're in character, delivering the lines, and having the experience. There's always fright, stage fright, if you want to say that, before, let's say, you get on stage. I can remember, no matter how much you have the role, before you walk on stage, I'm nervous as hell. I'm scared. I'm not sure what we're scared of, but we are scared. I'm scared. At one time, I thought, well, it's a scare for getting a line, getting your lines. But then after, it really isn't, because there's no play that goes on that every actor utters every word that's in that script. Things happen all the time. But if you're in the reality, you know the show, you know where it's going, you don't really need the words. Once you're there, you know where it's going. And any actor can tell you this. And they've had this experience, especially stage acting, not so with, not as much with film or TV, but even there, it happens. And what you have to do is improv. And if you improv well, the storyline continues. So if you forget a line, you skip a line, another actor skips a line, an actor forgets where they are, it's up to you, to the other actor, to bring them back. And those are actually, though, and if you ask me what have been my most favorite moments, has been when there's been a real mess up on stage, whether a cue that you need to get you to the next phase never comes on. So you just don't sit there. You can't. And it's got to be, you have to work immediately. You had something happen. What did that stimulate in me as an actor? That wasn't rehearsed. That wasn't part of it. I had a whole different reaction. Maybe it was panic. Fine. Panic. You show it within the character, within the story time. And those have been actually the greatest moments. that, because I was, it was even, I was going to say realer than real. Because when you're in the moment, it's whatever feelings you have, but it's the feelings that come more or less during each show. But here's a moment that you haven't had that feeling. Something went wrong. And all of a sudden, you're living it. The audience doesn't know that something went wrong. But, and this is, you know, and if they see a performance, if they were able to see the performance from the night before, they'll know that at that moment in the play, it was different. And the difference was that something went wrong. So sometimes those are the greatest gifts that an actor can receive. Those little moments where something goes off and you're in the reality and you're responding to it appropriately in